Hello, welcome to Chasing the Yield. This is Kevin Bay, and this is the Yield Week ending May 28th, 2021. I'm a little bit late this week. Wasn't able to post on Saturday or Sunday, as I was not celebrating Memorial Day weekend. I was doing some light construction under my deck, putting in gutters, putting in a under deck ceiling to keep the water from splashing on the house. So I was busy all weekend, and so I'm at the end of today, which, you know, I was finishing that stuff up. So I'm trying to squeeze this in. This is going to be short anyway, because last week, not much happened. So let's see, going through the blog. From regular news, you had oil companies increasing their footprint in renewables. And that's fine. We knew that was happening for quite some time. Some energy companies are trying to, diversify what they do for energy. I don't think oil is going to go anywhere anytime soon, given that petroleum products are literally in just about everything that we use, from the plastics, you know, down to the gasoline in our cars. So I can see that continuing, you know, just not on the same scale as people try to move on to batteries. I don't really put much trust in renewables like solar and wind. Nuclear energy I would like to see, but that's neither here nor there. So, you know, the oil companies increasing their footprint in renewables is likely to, at least in the short term, I think, drive the price of oil up, as people, you know, maybe don't use as much and we produce less oil. That should drive the price up in my mind, but who knows in this world how that's going to go. There was a story, let's see, as I click through here, out of the Wall Street Journal about investors jumping into risky bundled collateralized loans. And to me, when I read this, here's the quote out of the Wall Street Journal. Issuance of new collateralized loan obligations, which buy up loan companies with junk credit ratings and package them into securities, totaled over $59 billion as of May 20th, according to data from S&P Global Market Intelligence's LCD. That is the highest ever figure for that period in data going back to 2005. The prospect of rising inflation and a shift away from the Federal Reserve's easy money policies are making bonds tied to so-called CLOs attractive to a wider range of investors, analysts said. Many are expecting strong growth to prompt Fed tightening, eroding returns on corporate bonds. Yields on CLO bonds typically rise with interest rates. But what I see more is this type of risky behavior. This smells, at least to me, just with what happened just prior to the 2008 global recession, where they were packaging subprime mortgages and selling those off, creating a huge pile of debt that people were never going to repay, and then the American taxpayer ended up bailing out the banks for the risky loans that they made. So I just hope we don't end up in the same water with that. There was some news with Exxon. They were challenged by what was the name of that company? You know, I just can't remember it right off the top of my head. Engine Number One. They launched a campaign to put some members on the board of directors at Exxon. They were not happy with the direction that Exxon was moving, and they wanted Exxon also to diversify more into renewables. So from what the news report said out of the Wall Street Journal, that that investment company, the hedge fund, Engine Number One, they want at least two seats on the board. Now, they might not do much in the short term to change any directions for Exxon. Personally, I like Exxon staying with oil and not diversifying at this point. You know, maybe there's something in the future, but I think right now it's too early. And so I voted my shares to go with the current Exxon board. But we'll see what happens. They did get two on there, and with the, you know, only two people on there, while they'll be able to maybe cause a bit of a ruckus right now, I don't believe that's going to do anything in the short term for a change of direction. There was another story about an investment that is guaranteed. It's a protected safe investment, and right now has a yield of 3.54%. And again, this is out of the Wall Street Journal. They're government I-bonds. They were introduced in 1998, and they were conceived to provide primarily small savers with a positive long-term return after inflation. The only problem here is that you can only invest a maximum of $10,000 per account, so basically per investor, I think. So if you're a couple, a married couple, or you know whatever, you can do $20,000. And you have to hold on to that for at least 12 months. But, you know, if you have $10,000, $20,000 in a CD, you're not getting anywhere near that kind of money. And I think with the penalty, let's see, in the Wall Street Journal, they had it in here. With the penalty, if you cash out within a year, let's see, what the heck was it? I know I saw it here somewhere. As I'm scrolling through, okay, if you buy an I-bond today at 3.54% rate and sell it 1 year and a day from now, you'll earn still a 2.65% after the penalty. That's even better than what savings, general, regular savings accounts were getting out of Synchrony Bank and Ally Bank before the Fed dropped the interest rates to zero. So if you got any CDs, if you got any money in CDs, an I-bond might be for you. It's guaranteed never to go not return less than your principal. So at least you've got the safety there. Some Microsoft news. Microsoft struck a deal with the world's largest copper producer to fast-track the digitization of its sprawling mining operations. Try saying digitization. I can't say that word very fast. Helping it extend automation and improve analytics. The joint project with Microsoft will beef up the company's capacity to make its production processes more efficient and promote sustainability within its operations. Codelco said in a statement, they are the world's largest copper producer, and they are in Chile. And like many Chilean miners, they fought in recent years to adopt new technologies to boost efficiency and keep down costs, many of which suffer from declining ore grades. This is a Reuters story, and I've got a link in my show notes. With Johnson & Johnson, they filed Monday for regulatory approval of one of its COVID-19 vaccines in Japan, and that it can begin supplying doses to the country in early 2022 once it wins approval. So that was it for the slow news portfolio update. On my portfolios, all three ended up for the month of May. My low-yield portfolio for the week was up 0.18%, and for the month of May was up 2.65%. My medium-yield portfolio was up 0.51% for the week, and for the month of May, up 3.58%. That was my winner of the month. My high-yield portfolio was down this week 0.75%, but still up for the month 2.16%. Again, all the details on these portfolios are on my website, chasingtheyield.com, and you can take a look at, in detail at the all the stocks that I hold and the basic yield that I'm going for percentage-wise. Dividend news, Altria, they announced their next dividend of 0.86 cents per share in line with their previous payout. CIBC announced its next dividend of $1.46 Canadian dollars per share, and also in line with the previous payout. Nordic announced its next variable dividend of 0.2 cents per share. While it is the same as their previous payout, that brings their total payout over the last 12 months down 30%. So that's in my high yield portfolio, and that will cut the income on that by a decent amount, not enough for me to change the position just yet, but it does bring it down substantially percentage-wise just for that particular holding. So let me see. If I look at this now, let me go back to my portfolio here. The high yield portfolio, which before was averaging, hold on a second. I'm actually viewing my own website because I can't remember the exact percentage. If you go to chasingtheyield.com/portfolios, you can see there. I was yielding approximately 12%, and now with that change, I'm at about 11.5%. So it cut my percentage enough for me to watch it closely that maybe I have to change the holding to something else. But we'll see how that goes, see how it plays out. And I think, let's see, what do we got here? That's it for the dividends. There was nothing, not much changed. So next week, this is another short week, so I expect not too much will be happening there. I hope everybody's having a great weekend, celebrating Memorial Day, and the people who keep our country free and who have died to keep our country free. There's nothing, no greater sacrifice than putting your life on the line to protect the U.S. Constitution. So happy Memorial Day to you all, and I'll talk to you next week. Maybe. There it goes. I'm all over the road today. Just trying to squeeze this one in.